I suspect many of us have images in our head of the Last Supper. And we can thank Leonardo da Vinci for that. We imagine Jesus and the disciples are seated at a long table, and it's laden with food and drink. And some of the disciples are looking at Jesus, and others are talking with one another. And Judas is off to the side, looking conspiratorial, because he's up to no good. At that table, we have elements that we are familiar with from communion. There is bread and there is wine. And that story of the bread and the wine being shared at the table can be found in the Synoptic Gospels. And just as Jesus commanded us to do, we will reenact that meal tonight. And we do it on the first Sunday of every month. And in many churches, it's done every week. And in some places, every day. But John's Gospel reminds us that something else happened on the night of the Last Supper. Something that we do not reenact in church. Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. Now, and back in the past, eating and drinking were things that everybody did all the time, and often they were done with others. But the washing of feet, that's a different matter. And in Jesus' time, it was something that a teacher or a master or parent would never do for a student or a servant, or a child. And Jesus' decision to wash the feet of his disciples was something that Peter couldn't quite process. Now, we need to give Peter some credit here, because he had respect for Jesus. And he didn't like the idea of Jesus doing something that he felt was beneath his teacher. So he tells Jesus, "No way you're washing my feet." And Jesus tells him, of course, "If I don't wash your feet, then you are not going to have a part of me." And Peter, being good old Peter, reacts. He responds. And in fact, he overcompensates. And he says, "Okay, you can wash my feet and my head and my body while you're at it." And it's pretty clear at that moment that Peter has not gotten the message of what Jesus is trying to do. It's as if Peter imagines that he is being bathed ritually, that somehow he's undergoing some kind of purification rite. And that's not what's happening at all. Jesus tells him, "You're clean, you're okay. You need to have your feet washed." And then Jesus goes and explains what he did and why he did it. "I have washed your feet, and I want you to wash the feet of one another." But even with that, Jesus knows they will not truly understand what he has done until a future time, after Easter. For what Jesus has done here is engaged in service, loving service, a service that occurs between equals. There is no sense of a master asking something of his servant. There is no sense of someone doing something because he or she will feel better for having been a helper. What Jesus is doing here is sharing love, and he wants his disciples to do that too. And this is a preview of what will happen the next day when Jesus is nailed to the cross, when Jesus makes the sacrifice for all of us. That was done not so much to satisfy a debt, but that was done to show just how much God loves us, how much God is with us. I don't know if any of you have ever partaken in a foot washing before, but a number of years ago when I was worshiping at Trinity Church in Boston, There was a foot washing as part of the Maundy Thursday service. And we have our own issues with washing feet today. It's still considered to be odd and exotic. We don't need to do it the way people in Jesus' day did it, because we don't wear open-toed sandals and walk along dusty roads. But there is something remarkable that happens during that service. And everybody who participated would both wash feet and have one's feet washed. And it was ritualistic, so there was just some water that would be poured into a basin, and then the foot would be toweled off. And I don't think anybody really minded washing another person's feet. I think everybody entered into the spirit of the service. But people were uncomfortable having their feet washed by somebody else. Most of us cover up our feet with socks and shoes or boots. They're not visible to anybody. Oftentimes we don't want people to see our feet. Maybe our toenails aren't properly trimmed, or we have calluses, or we didn't do a good enough job washing them that morning. But exposing our feet to one another is a way of making ourselves vulnerable. And that's what we do when we allow people to provide service to us, when we accept service of the kind that Jesus gave, when we accept God's love. We aren't always able to do things on our own. And just as we need to serve people, we need to allow them to serve us. And we need to live in community. Christianity is not a solo sport. It's a team sport. And that was something that Jesus made clear to his disciples on that night long ago. We may not reenact a foot washing today, but we will share the Lord's Supper. And hopefully we will feel God's presence here with us as we eat the bread and drink the cup. I'm not telling you anything you don't know when I say that Da Vinci was a phenomenal artist, one of the greatest who ever lived. But the fact is, he got the Last Supper wrong. As we read in John and the Synoptic Gospels, this meal took place either just before or during Passover. So all of those gathered would have been reclining and not sitting up straight at the table. They would have had multiple tables in the room for two or three people, and they would have shared food. It wouldn't have been staid, sort of like we are right now, but it would have been lively, and people would have been talking and sharing stories. The sounds one hears at a table would have been heard then and there. Most importantly, other than Jesus and perhaps Judas, nobody knew what was going to happen the next day. So imagine that moment where a group of friends, beloved friends, are together with one another. They're with one another. They're supporting one another. And Jesus knew that they would need those bonds of support and love and friendship in the days and weeks and months to come. And that would be made evident after Jesus' betrayal, when everybody fled off in their own direction, and alone, they couldn't cope with what happened. But afterwards, they came back together, and they began to understand the gift that Jesus had given to them. So tonight, let's remember the gift that Jesus shared with his disciples, and he shared with us. The gift of community, the gift of companionship, the gift of love that will never, ever go away.